I always say when my target market speaks, I listen.
Welcome to the Dentist Freedom Blueprint, a podcast about freedom. Freedom from expectations of society and the traditional path to success that has been ingrained in us from our early years. I'm joined by mavericks, renegades, and nonconformists to discuss an anti-traditional path to financial freedom, freedom of time, relationships, health, and ultimately freedom of purpose. My name is Dr. David Phelps. Let's get started.
Good day, everyone. It's Dr. David Phelps of the Freedom Founders Mastermind Community and the Dentist Freedom Blueprint Podcast. Here to bring you what's going to be a really great conversation. As you can tell, I'm a little bit excited because I always get excited because I get to talk to some great people. But today it's a special guest, my brother from another mother, Dr. Christopher Phelps. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Awesome, David. How are you doing?
It's been a while since we'd seen each other in person. I don't remember how long, but just a few months ago, we were actually at a conference together. And so we crossed paths. And of course, we always just touch base as we normally do when like what's new, what's going on in your world. And you mentioned, hey, I've got a new book coming out. Well, it didn't surprise me because you're always publishing good stuff. So it didn't surprise me. And you said it's on marketing. Oh, well, that fits. I mean, Chris is a great marketer. So, I mean, my interest was piqued a little bit, Chris, I have to say. But then when I got the book in the mail, and I'll show it in a few minutes why I want to do this podcast. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. A lot of our listeners will know who you are. Well, the Phelps name, I mean, it just goes without saying. You have to listen to a Phelps. So we'll say that right off the bat. But just a little bit of your background. Dr. Chris Phelps is an entrepreneur. He's a general dentist, an Amazon bestselling author of the book, Grow Your Dental Membership Plan, and the complete book on dental marketing, which is the book we'll talk about today. He's a certified Colby trainer, also an expert in the science of ethical influence and persuasion, having received his Cialdini Method certified trainer. He currently practices in the Charlotte, North Carolina area and is the co-host on the Dental Slang and Marketing Mindset podcast. He is the founder and president of Golden Goose Scheduling, the Phelps Institute, your marketing CEO and dental membership direct. Golden Goose Scheduling helps practices answer and schedule more new patient calls while reactivating patients who are overdue for hygiene care. The Phelps Institute was founded to train dentists in both clinical and business aspects of running their practice. Your marketing CEO advises practices to make sure they are getting a return for their marketing investment. Gee, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. And Dental Membership Direct, his team helps offices create, implement, and grow their own in-house dental membership plan. Gee, Chris, I think you need to find something to do in your life. Just before we jump into the topic today, which is going to be your marketing book, and I've known this about you for a long time, been a big fan. You've spoken at Freedom Founders events before, and I just got to get a little bit of more of the personality, the background, what drives Chris Phelps in all these things you do. Right there, what I read right there was a smorgasbord of activities and platforms and value add in so many ways. Obviously, you're an entrepreneur. We stated that at the beginning. That's what entrepreneurs do. They create value, create support teams. And yet we didn't say anything about the fact you have a family life too, and I know you do, and you actually like to travel and have fun. So just again, I've got to ask the big overriding question, Chris, how do you get all this stuff done and still enjoy, you know, your personal time, your family time, the other things that are important to you? Just can you give us some high level, this is how I do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's taken me years to figure it out. Number one, it wasn't something I discovered overnight, and learning from great mentors and whatnot. But ultimately, it just comes down to part A is good scheduling. And I learned that I need to stop half-assing two things and whole-ass one thing. So dedicate my time. So whatever it is I'm focused on, there's no other distraction. So if I'm working on Golden Goose Scheduling and that business, that's the only thing I'm thinking about. That's the mindset I'm in. That's what I'm dealing with for that day. If it's a membership plan business the next day, then that's the only thing I'm dealing with. So being very strategic in how I schedule these things and very protective of that time, so nothing distracts the mindset, is key. And then having good people to run them so I don't have to be there day to day.
So as you've built out these different platforms, then are you saying to me that pretty much each of these areas of your expertise and value add, you created in a linear fashion? In other words, I don't know which one was first. I remember meeting you years and years ago, but you started with one. And in other words, as entrepreneurs, we typically have an idea a second, right? I mean, that's our problem. But you were able to focus down and pick something and say, I'm going to get heavy traction on this first before you went to the next idea that you probably had a whole folder full of stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the blessing and the curse, right? Unfortunately, mm-hmm. You know, the good news is this thing never stops moving, right? It never stops processing. The bad news is it never stops processing. It never stops working. So, you know, I don't go looking for problems, but when I find one that really affects me, then I'm like a dog with a bone. I can't shake it until I really figure it out, right? And solve the problem.
Yeah.
And these have been so linear because these are all problems I had in my practices that I realized that I had to solve these things and really not only be an expert and understand the why behind it, but really figure out the solution to it. And then I realized, well, geez, it works so well for me, the solution. Maybe it worked for others. And since it works for others, hey, maybe I could build a business around that. And once I did and got it to a level that it didn't need me, then I could jump to the next thing and focus on the next problem to solve.
And what we both have found in life is when you do see a problem that you need to solve, we need to solve in our own respective businesses, and we get to that solution, to your point, then, well, it probably could help other people. So putting it out there, yes, it creates a business, which is a great thing, but also you get feedback from the marketplace. So you take what you created, which was good always, and then it gets better because now you're getting feedback. You're getting like multiple labs across the country or in different areas, and you're getting feedback. And then because you're interested in it, you improve it for yourself, improve it for others, and it just keeps scaling up. As you said, having the right team members is a critical piece. And I think that's something that most of us, I certainly had to learn it the hard way, that trying to do it all myself, which is kind of how we start in life, right? Is gonna bump that ceiling all the time. And you've broken that, you know, time and time and time again to manage all that you do. I kind of see it too, Chris. Like when I was reading all this off, I was seeing the old Ed Sullivan, the plate spinners, right? Spinning the plates. I'm thinking, okay, Chris, you got about like 7 or 8 or 9 plates here. And I could see, okay, I gotta go to that one today. So get that one going again and get that one going. Then you run over this and crash and get that one without having one crash and break. But I know you handle it with more aplomb than that. So that was just kind of my silly image of what I think our lives as entrepreneurs ends up being so much time. But when you get it down, get systems and process and get a great team in place, that's when life's really good, isn't it? And it's never without challenges, but it's good.
Yeah. And that's really the big secret is creating the illusion that I'm the one spinning all those plates, because I'm not.
Right.
I'm the one that started spinning them. But I'm not the one spending them all constantly, right? And I can strategically jump in and out as needed and on demand, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it. All right. Well, this is what we're talking about today. I got it right here all tabbed up with a lot of stuff in there, because I mean, virtually every page of this book, I could peel it open and just open it up and we could just have a conversation, deep dive on that one particular page. I'm saying this because I'm an avid book reader. I love to learn. And I've got books everywhere. I know you do too, Chris. And every book, there's usually something of value. There's something, you know, and some more than others. But when I got this book, Chris, I was thoroughly impressed. I mean, obviously the quality of the publishing tells me something right there. Not that other books that are paperbacks, we've both done paperbacks and there's nothing wrong with those. But I could tell by reading this book, the quality that went into it, that this is what I call a tome, a marketing tome for dental marketing. And the reason I love this book is that you have learned from the best. You've implemented through your own practice, so you know what works. This isn't just some theory that you just, you know, went to school, a marketing school for to learn. No, this is boots on the ground stuff. And you put it in a way that makes sense. You build the plan. You've got all the subsections. And before we dug into the contents, here's what I think. And you probably already make this known, but so many doctors, dentists, business owners, you know, they want to do better with marketing, need to market, but it's always a hodgepodge. Well, I grab this bright, shiny object over here. Somebody says, do this over here. And they try all kinds of things that are not coordinated. And back to your team, don't you believe that even in the smallest of practices, that somebody on that team needs to have some level of focus, even if it's a part-time focus, certain hours per week, on the marketing for the practice? Would you agree with me?
Absolutely. Yeah. And unfortunately, in my practice, that team member was me, at least initially.
Yeah, initially.
Somebody had to do it. And that's really what my pain point was when I sold my two best offices and took over my two worst ones. And I'm spending $36,000 a month in marketing and getting 60 patients for my efforts. Mm. Finally, I couldn't ignore the problem anymore or procrastinate. I was like, crap, I got to figure this thing out.
Yeah, well, figure it out. You did. So my message to people that are listening today is, and I don't get anything for selling this book, but I'm just telling you, if I still had my dental practice, well, even if I didn't have a dental practice for any business, this would apply many times over. I would buy it and then I would hire, or if I had someone on my team somewhere that had any kind of affinity for marketing, and I'd say, here's our Bible. And I would work with that person. And even if they didn't have a lot of marketing experience, I'd say, it's in the book right here. Let's build this out. Let's start taking it apart. Because if you use this right here, Chris, you've got a great guide plan for people to start figuring out how to put and orchestrate the right marketing for them. And it's gonna be different for everybody, wherever you're starting, whatever you have going on. But you just did a great job here. So again, I just commend you for great work.
Thanks. You know, and I really spent a lot of time trying to make sure that there was something for everyone in there, meaning regardless of what your marketing budget is, because some people don't have a marketing budget. Let's say you're starting out or whatnot. Well, then there's plenty of stuff in the grassroots marketing realm, things that don't cost a lot of money, but just take more of your time, which you have in the early days.
Right.
To the other end of the spectrum, what we're all used to, the external marketing stuff, digital, offline, you know, stuff that just costs your money, but doesn't take your time, and every spectrum in between.
Yeah. Well, you've got a, in fact, one of those, yeah, it's actually marked it right here. This has to be page 117, putting it all together, 100-to-1 ROI, return on investment. Well, that's what we all want, to have a return on investment. What does that look like? How do I measure it? How do I know, right? Because most of the time we're just guessing, throwing stuff out there. No one's measuring it. And so we don't know what's working, what's not. And you go into the detail about that. You talk about never stop asking questions to understand your target market. Talk about that a little bit. I think, again, that just grabbed me as being so relevant. Never stop asking questions to understand your target market. Let's talk about target market a little bit and where a lot of businesses and dental practices, you know, don't even go that to that level.
Yeah. You know, most of them stay too generic, right? I just want to butt in the chair. But the reality is, especially in today's day and age, in a post-COVID world, we want to be really selective and have the best quality person sitting in that chair, meaning that's going to pay not only our full fee, but the highest possible fee, depending on the size of the treatment that we're presenting. Right. So we want to be as selective as possible and categorize them. And so I always say, when my target market speaks, I listen. They're giving me gold, and they're telling me not only what mindset they were in and why they said yes to the treatment, which will help me with others like them, but they usually give me great marketing ideas to find others like them as well. And that example, the 100-to-1, was when I was talking to a patient I'd done two implants on, active independent living retiree. That's my target market, right? Somebody I want more in my chair, who's going to buy my membership plan, who's going to do more treatment because of it and do implants. And I'd done two implants on him, and that's somebody I want more of. And I just happened to be asking him questions, just trying to see how he gets his information and just kind of poking the bear a little bit, saying, hey, you know, Bill, I know you're retired. You're probably just sitting around the house all day, aren't you? And the guy actually made a joke. He's like, well, doc, actually, I get out of bed, I get the newspaper, I look at the obituary section. If I'm not in there, I keep on going. I was like, wow, I've been trying to get a joke out of this guy for like 5 years. I finally got one. That's pretty good. And I laughed, and then was telling my associate doctor that story later. And I was like, wait a minute, what did my target market just tell me they look at every day? Mm-hmm. Not just the newspaper, because I don't think people read the newspaper ads, but the obituary section.
Yes.
Oh, what if I, you know, market message medium? What if I put my message in a place I know my market's looking? What could that do?
Out of category marketing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What it can do, 100-to-1 return.
Yeah. No one else is there. It's competing, right? You're there and you're reaching an audience because you know that's where they go. That's so true. You know, grandparents, older people in my family, same thing. It's like typically that's where they go because all their friends are unfortunately at the end of life. And so they're looking to see who they lost. I mean, not a happy thing, but that's where they go. And yeah. So smart. When you're curating this kind of feedback and information from your target market, as you just gave that example, obviously I know you do that because your mind is always, you know, thinking in all these different dimensions. How is it possible to get your team to also be trying to curate this information? And if so, how do you do that? Is there training? Is it top of mind? What are you doing with the team to also get them to pull that kind of data that's so helpful in marketing?
Yeah, I think it really just comes from, like you said, it helps to have somebody dedicated to this who can either have time available to talk to the patient while they're there in the chair, because that's when you're going to get your best information, or have time to follow up with them and call them after the fact. But ultimately, it's going to take somebody who's just curious. Their nature is to ask questions and to really just ask them a billion questions. What do you do? Where do you live? Where are you hanging out? What are you into? How do you get your information? What are you reading? What stations are you listening to? Whatever that is, right? Just keep asking questions and gathering information. And then ultimately, kind of what I do is once I ask enough people, look for the pattern. There's a connection there. There's a commonality amongst them all. The hard part is being the detective to figure it out, right? And put the time in to figure that out. So if you can dedicate somebody on the team to do that, man, the marketing opportunities for you are endless.
Speaking of target market, you also talk about the message, the medium, and then that target market. So talk about the sequencing. So let's talk about what each of those are so people are clear. So we have our market. We have a certain message that we are putting out to that market. If understanding the market, then we have a message that we feel like is congruent with their thinking, but then we also have the medium. So pick where you want to go with that and give us why the sequencing is important here.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. In my persuasion and influence trainings, I show people a video of how people show up for this experiment and they're talking to a person at the front desk to sign in. And then they're going to go into a separate room where they think the experiment's going to happen. And after they fill out this form, the person behind the desk takes the form, drops down behind the counter, and a totally different person stands up and finishes the conversation. And when they get into the room, the lead experimenter asks them, hey, by the way, did you notice anything different when you checked in? And of course, 75% of the time, people don't notice that the person they started talking to was completely different than the person that they ended talking to. Okay? Because it's this aspect of the brain, if whatever pulls our focus and attention, our brain sees and feels is important.
Right.
Whatever doesn't have our focus and attention is not even there, right? So we miss huge changes like that. And so what I tell people is, when it comes to message, of all of them, your message in any marketing medium is probably, after understanding who your target market is, understanding the right kind of message to put in front of them is the next most important thing. Because it's like the headline of the story. It's got to be something, because we're so distracted. We're barely listening. We're scanning when we read. We're barely looking at it. Like we're constantly searching for shortcuts, right? So if the headline doesn't grab your focus and attention, then you have no chance to influence them in your ad. So we need to have strategic target messages there that are going to grab people's attention. And then that's the catch. Now, strategically, where do we put that? Right, where our target market's going to see. If we drop the ball in those areas, maybe it's a medium that our target market's going to look at or listen to, but we got the wrong message. They ignore it altogether. Or we got the right message. If they were exposed to it, they would totally respond to it. But you know what? They don't read the newspaper, or they're not on TikTok, or they're not on this other medium. So the message falls short, right? So really having a good understanding of those three, or even though there's seven pillars I talk about, those are probably three of the most important to really influence more of these people and make your marketing work.
We have inflation in place. We have the greatest amount of national debt that we've ever had in this country. We have politicians who are spending money like drunken sailors. This cannot bode well for traditional financial planning. The vast majority will keep doing what they've been doing, and they'll see their portfolios, their equities, their stock market, 401ks will take a heavy drop, and they have to start over, losing over a decade of time in the process. If you've ever thought about how to diversify out of the stock market into real estate, I am doing a 30-day online blueprint course beginning in just a few weeks for a small group. This is intimate, this is interactive, it's online, and I'm there leading the way. I've navigated now 6 recessionary periods, corrections, over my 43 years, and I know how to do it today. I can save you a lot of time, money, and despair by jumping in too late into market cycles that are not good for you. If you're interested in joining me and a select number of other people on this interactive, live, week-by-week process, I'd love to have you jump in. For more information or to register for the course, just click the link below.
Yeah, that's really good.
You started talking about early that there's external marketing, internal, and there's a lot of things you can do internally that don't have to cost an arm and a leg to get, you know, the ROI you're looking for. So that's your chapter 6, internal marketing. And there's gold in here. One of the things that I picked up on was, again, going back to some of the Cialdini principles that you have learned from and also teach today, reciprocity. And you just mentioned, like, here, the $5 gift cards to places that people enjoy. Talk about that reciprocity principle and how you use that in your practice.
Yeah. So one of the things I did was started out with just, in this case, rowing with the tide instead of trying to row against it. Normally, when it comes to case acceptance and whatnot, we're competing with the things our patients are spending their money on besides their oral healthcare, right? The wants, if you will.
Yes.
Well, here's a situation where I'm not going to fight that. I'm going to go with it. And so I'm going to give them a choice of gift cards, 2 to no more than 4, and small amounts. You know, $5 gift cards have twice as much influence as $50 rewards. But just thank them genuinely. Hey, you could have gone anywhere. You chose us. Here's a little something to say thanks. Pick a gift card from us. And it's going to be to places I know they value, like Target or Starbucks or Amazon. Or when gas was at an all-time high, I had a gas card, right? Because I want to give something that I know people are going to appreciate. If they appreciate it, they feel obligated to give back. So when they genuinely thank us, well, then I go into ask for what I want, a review, a referral, scheduled treatment, whatever that is. And so it was a powerful way to get more referrals. And then I got the idea, well, I'm spending money on this thing and leveraging reciprocity, but maybe I could support my local community businesses or my own patients who were small business owners, right? And get them to donate the gift card.
Yeah.
So it didn't cost me anything, but I can still leverage the reciprocity. So now it's a win for the patient because I've vetted these places and these are places I want them to go to and support. Because the worst thing you can give someone is a bad experience. On top of that, it's a win for these businesses because it is the best marketing they'll ever spend because it only costs them when the person shows.
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't pay for that, right? And then, of course, it's a win for me because it doesn't cost me anything on the gift cards. But because people appreciate that I gave it to them, I can leverage the reciprocity moment.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful principle. I held up the book earlier to show the cover, but I also want, again, to see the quality, the photographs, the illustrations, all in color. Again, just really, really well done, Chris. It's just it's so high quality and easy to read. And you give so many great examples. Again, I admire the depth and the detail that you went into this, just being someone that also appreciates marketing to a high degree. And this is not just a flyover. I don't want people to understand. You said there's something here for everybody. And you could pick a chapter or a few pages, a week, and with your marketing person, just start building out your plan here. Chris gives you a great overview as how to do it and how to get the right ROI based on where you are, what your budget is. You've got a whole aspect here on your target market area analysis. So now we're talking about geo area, geographic area, right? So you're looking for a certain target, but geographic areas, and you've got the whole map here and how you kind of put a circle around a certain area, discovering where your high value existing patient lives in relation to your specific office, right? What are some things there that are critical variables that people could look at to upgrade their marketing spend to get that ROI better in terms of geo targeting?
Yeah, well, I love old adages about human behavior because they don't change and they speak to kind of how we're built, right? So while many things in life changes, these things don't. So things like birds of a feather flock together, for instance. So geo-targeting and stuff like that and knowing where your ideal patients live are key because there are probably other people just like them around them. Sure. So if I wanted, again, my target market, more of them, who better than to target than those immediately around them? So it becomes critical from that aspect to identify more just like them. And again, really understanding your target market. So back in my early direct marketing days, I used to just use like single criteria, like monetary income. So, if they didn't have at least $100,000 in household income, then they weren't getting a flyer for me. Well, then I realized, just by talking to my mother and other people that were retired, that if that's the criteria I'm using, they're not going to show up on my list because they don't take out any more money than what Social Security pays them if they don't have to. So they don't pay tax on it. So their taxable income every year keeps them well under that threshold. And so therefore I'm missing my target market from my freaking list because of this, right? So then I decided, to capture them, that's why I decided to go to credit scores. So if you're over 55, that's the only thing I care about is if you got a B+ credit score or better, you're going to see something from me. Right. But again, without understanding who this was and that this criteria, it works for some people, but not for my market, man, I would have been missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah. No, so true. So true. I want to point out also in the book, we both know that you could be awesome at marketing or you could hire to have help with your marketing agency, right? Which is something you do. But if you don't have the infrastructure, the team, the responsiveness, the experience in place, then all the marketing in the world, falls flat. I know that, you speak about this and probably unfortunately have had clients that you could do all the marketing in the world and that they just don't step up and have the rest of the recipe in place and it's not going to work. And, in the book, you go into great detail with, the conversion and of course, the intake. Certainly, people can come from all kinds of places today online. Coming through and perhaps, engaging off of a website is common today. However people use the website, that's great. But also certainly the phone is still highly used. Fortunately today, we're not texting everything. And you go through and you give a lot of very definitive, I'll just say they're scripts, but all the objections, all of the issues that typically come up. And this is such a hard thing. It's been a while since I've been in practice, but look, this is any business, this is anything, is that you've got to have your frontline people that know how to engage with the prospect or the existing patient, whatever it may be, engage with them the right way and be able to handle with confidence, the objections, questions they have, because that's what lets them take the next step, right? And so many times, if it's not handled well, the ball is fumbled, right? Then, the marketing didn't work this month, Dr. Chris. I mean, something's wrong with your marketing. No, maybe we'd better take a deeper look. So talk a little bit about the training of and the use of scripts per se, or is it frameworks, or how would you position it when you're trying to train a team or have someone train your team with communications and customer experience?
Yeah. So my ultimate goal is I try to teach the team that it's guidelines, really, is what it is, right? There's a sequence to it, but if you get out of sequence, if you start with the end, that's okay too. Right. These are just things that ultimately it's almost like bowling. Right. So we know we got the pin set up. We know we want to make an appointment. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm going to put up some bumpers on the alleyway so we stay in the lane.
Okay.
That's the guidelines. Now, how you roll that ball down there, do you use one hand versus two? Do you put spin on it, roll it flat? I don't care, right? That's up to you, right? So there's leeway for the team to modify for them and their way of doing things. So I try to give more detailed actual scripting for those that really need that scripting. They need the verbiage versus for others, it's really the guidelines are all there, right? Make sure you make a connection with this person. Promote the doctor's authority, right? So if you found something in common, they like you, they're more likely to schedule. If you promote the authority of the doctor, well, that reassures them that this is the right office, right? This is the expert that I need to be talking to. Highlight what makes you unique and scarce that you do that nobody else does. Again, reinforcing the reason why they called you. Then it kind of gets some of these other barriers that tend to come up. These tend to disappear. They're not as important. Oh, what do you mean you don't take my insurance? That's not an issue anymore, right? Because it's about these other things instead.
Yeah, that point, the trust, the relationship, the rapport has been built. And that insurance thing, which in my experience is usually was just one of those tools, I guess I'd call it, that a patient might use just because they haven't been convinced that either this is the place for them or that they value the treatment. And so they pull out the insurance card because they figure they've used that before and that can always get them out the door. I mean, is that reasonable?
Definitely. And like I said, you know, after listening to more phone calls than I care to admit of my own team and other doctors and teams, I realize, you know, it really is a two-part problem. It's half the time the patient's mindset is putting up these barriers that the team really just doesn't understand the mindset that the patient's in and doesn't have the verbiage or the skill set and the strategies to help get them around that mindset in the moment. And then the other half of the time, sadly, it's the team's bias and prejudice putting up the barrier to scheduling the patient. Oh, I know who that is. I don't want them coming here. When the reality is, you know, when you try to assume you know who that is, what's the old adage there? When you assume, you make an ass out of you. And when you assume the patient knows what they're talking about, or you assume you know what the patient needs, 9 times out of 10, we're both wrong.
That's right.
Trying to separate those two things out. Let's put our bias aside and let's really listen to who is on the phone and what their mindset's really in. And now we know what to do next.
So in terms of training and building up good staff, and I know we could do like, you know, well, I know you do full seminars on this, so we don't have time to do that today. But obviously, let's just say I'm gonna go against what you said. I'm gonna assume that somebody has a good team. All right, that's an assumption that's probably not true. But let's assume you have a good team that has the right characteristics and they want to learn. They want to be able to have these conversations and convert the right prospects to patients. So let's just say you have that good team. What's your training cadence and look like with your team? Obviously, we all need to, if you're trained to be the best at anything, you know, you don't just get to that goal and then go, oh, I'm good, I'm done. No, you have to keep training. You have to keep training. What does that look like? What's the cadence look like for you and your team in these different platforms?
Yeah. Well, I realized early on, the first step, the most important piece is accountability. And so, you know, when I started tracking my own marketing phone calls, why was I spending so much money? I realized we not only did we not answer 254 marketing-based phone calls a month. So, you know, you pay for the phone to ring and you don't answer it 254 times. So that kind of sucks. When we did answer and schedule, we only made an appointment 24% of the time, right? And so I knew there was this huge gap and there was this huge problem. So before I could even dig into the why behind that, I just started having these recorded phone calls and I would make time to meet with my team once a month. And I'd say, let's listen to your calls, good or bad and ugly. I don't care. The fault is on me because I didn't give you the tools you needed to be successful in this. So we're going to figure this out together. Okay. So sitting down with them once a month, just reviewing their phone calls. And then eventually this led into the better I could sequence and separate the phone calls out. I only reviewed the calls that they didn't schedule. So we praised the ones they did and only focus on the ones that, where they could have had improvement on. Not calls where the patient's asking if you're open Saturdays and you're not, or if they're asking if you do wisdom teeth and you don't do wisdom teeth. Well, that's not really in the team's control, right? There's not really they could have done to change the outcome. But on the calls, they could change the outcome. Meeting with them one time a month to review that doubled my conversions in my office, that one single move, before we even started training. And I've seen offices, and I tell them before they get into it, just start talking about it once a month and see what happens. Automatically, with accountability, numbers go up. Then through time, and they get the chance to process the information from the book and start practicing this stuff, and they meet about it once a month, it just reinforces it over and over again. And you see the numbers go up and up and up, and they stay there. That's what's the key. They stay there.
Yeah. This is so good, Chris. Yeah. Dr. Christopher Phelps, The Complete Book on Dental Marketing. It really is a book that every dental office that cares a flip about maintaining relevancy and profitability and whatever your growth expansion goals are, this book is a have to have book. And I don't say that very often about too many people, too many books. Chris, I've always been a fan of yours. We will put the links in the show notes in terms of where people can connect with you on the different value adds and platforms and trainings that you have. We'll put all those there. But let's just, for people that are listening today, what would be like the best place just to go to make the like the first initial connection and or to get the book? What would you like? Where should people go?
Well, the book's fairly easy. I mean, there's a couple places you can find it, but Amazon, right? You can find it on Amazon. Luckily, you know, I've been fortunate. It's been in pretty high demand, so they keep running out of their stock. But they do restock, so it just may take a little longer. But Amazon's an easy place to get it. You can always email me directly at chris@drphelpshelps.com. You know, Phelps Helps, that's what we do, right? So chris@drphelpshelps.com, and I can point you in any direction that you need help in.
Great. Well, people should definitely follow you, if not get in direct contact with you and take some of your training. I mean, work with Chris. He knows what he's doing. He's been out there and he's got the proof of concept in place so many ways. Chris, it's always a pleasure. Great to see you, my friend.
Thanks, David. And like we said, you can't go wrong with the Phelps.
Can't go wrong with the Phelps, that's for sure. Keep up the good work.
You've been listening to the Dentist Freedom Blueprint podcast. If you're tired of trading time for dollars and you want to create more freedom in your life, I encourage you to visit my weekly blog, freedomfounders.com/blog. I post weekly hard-hitting videos about creating more freedom in your life. Check out my latest book on Amazon, What's Your Next? The Blueprint for Creating Your Freedom Lifestyle. Or visit freedomfounders.com to learn more about how we help high-income earners create the freedom to buy back their time and create more impact.